And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We are broadcasting live from our studios, which are located right here at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And we're thrilled to be back with you live in our studio on this Thursday morning. Welcome to our broadcast. And today we've got a special message for you from Grace Hour host, founder of the broadcast, and, well, the pastor who hosted this broadcast for many decades, Pastor Carl Stevens. His message today is entitled The Witness of the Holy Spirit. And we'll be listening to that message together with you and then commenting throughout the various portions that we'll be sharing with you this morning. And then, of course, following the last portion that we'll be sharing with you today from his message, we'll open the phone lines and begin to invite you to join us. And we hope many of you will do just that. The phone lines will be open. You can join us by dialing one of these numbers, 800-338-7060. That is toll free throughout all of North America. And right here in the Baltimore area, friends, please feel free to join us by dialing 410-483-3700. And again, The Witness of the Holy Spirit, that's the message title today. Our theme this week on the Grace Hour has been the unique ministry of the Holy Spirit, and in particular, Pentecost, which is, well, right now, this is the time of year that Pentecost would be celebrated, and we're celebrating it from the perspective of the Holy Spirit, His coming, His indwelling, His ministry, His leading, guidance, and His witness. So we invite you to join us when those phone lines are open. I want to welcome everyone listening on gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and the many, many podcasts available for you to listen to the Grace Hour, Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Audible, and Stitcher, just to name a few. And we thank you that you're taking this opportunity to join us live. Hope you can stay with us for the full hour-long broadcast. And if you can't listen to us live, we hope that many of you will catch up with this program later at your convenience. The archive broadcast will be available to all of you that were not able to join us live on our broadcast today. We want to mention, friends, once again, that the Greater Grace World Outreach International Convention is coming up very quickly, just days away, and it will all get started and kick off with our annual Maryland Bible College and Seminary Golf Tournament, which is the Monday of convention, the 20th of June. And if you would like to join us for that special event, you can register today and do so by going to ggwo.org/events, and you can register for the golf tournament. It's going to be a great day. We'll get started early in the morning with breakfast, and there'll be a special luncheon with Pastor Schaller at 2 p.m. that afternoon once the golf has completed. And if you are not a golfer, but you'd just like to come and enjoy the luncheon and the first message of the International Convention, which will be at Mountain Branch Country Club, the cost is $25. You can get all of the information by going, again, to our website, and you can register for the golf tournament at ggwo.org/events. We hope to see many of you there. Remember, by participating in the golf tournament, we're going to be raising money for our international students to come here to Maryland Bible College and Seminary and receive their training in the Word of God. So you can't ask for a better cause than that. You'll be supporting our international Bible college students. It's the 20th of June. Hope you'll make it. It'll be a great day. But again, also make sure you register for the upcoming international convention. Just go to our website, ggwo.org, and register today. Remember, there's no fees for registration. There will be fees involving all of the young people's outings and, well, all of the various events that they will be doing throughout the week. But as far as you, your family, and registering, there are no fees this year. We just want you to be here and enjoy the fellowship during the International Convention. It's going to be a great time.
It'll be a great time. Pastor Love, and this message, The Witness of the Holy Spirit, I was listening to Dr. Stevens this morning, one of his messages, 1984, and I just was sitting quietly and just paying attention and enjoyed how he quoted the scripture, enjoyed the mood You know, I like to say that the Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And imagine imagine if you were, whoever you are around the world, whoever your pastor is, whoever is used by God as an instrument to teach the word, the Spirit of God is there to speak the word of God to our hearts. And when that happens, that's the highest form of worship. That is how we keep our hearts and minds, by hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing. As we are hearing, it's a very real ministry. I think that's what we're going to hear today.
Absolutely. And I think a passage that we could look at to get before we listen to today's message, Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It's almost as if the Holy Spirit, one of his roles, and there are many, is to create this consciousness of sonship, that we would really know who we are. And it can be related to what we talked about yesterday in the broadcast as Pastor Ben Turkia joined us from Jerusalem. And I think you mentioned it, Pastor Schaller, how easy it is to label people rather than to love people. But yet the Holy Spirit says, I'm not going to label anyone. What I'm going to do is create their understanding of who they are in Christ. They will know, because of the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit, that they belong to God, that they're his children.
Well, could I illustrate that? That just resonates. There's a man drowning in a lake, and we're standing on the shore, and we're yelling out to him, you know, you shouldn't be out there. We were yelling at him, like, why did you get into that situation? Use your arms better, you know, like, hold your breath, and all kinds of words that could come. But he needs a savior. You know, he needs somebody to go in into the lake and save him. And this is why Christ said, I didn't come to destroy, I didn't come to judge. My word will judge in the latter day, in John 12:47. But I came to save. I came to be a minister. I came to wash feet. I came to give you a new heart and a new spirit. This is the witness of the Spirit. You see, like what you just said, if we are busy correcting, criticizing, complaining, saying it shouldn't be this way. If a house is on fire, you can stand outside the house and say a lot about it. And but it's another thing for a fireman to go in and save a life.
Yeah, that's everything. And labeling is just so easy. Sometimes we might not even know a person's name, but we know the nature of their problem. In other words, I've heard people say, I think you know who I'm talking about. You know, the alcoholic.
Yeah.
The divorcee.
Yes.
The person that has trouble keeping a job. I mean, we put labels on people where God says, try loving them.
Yeah, loving them. Forgiving them. Difference. Loving them. Ministering to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's turn our attention to, and again, you'll be listening to today's message, friends, in three separate portions, and then we'll break in after the end of each one of those portions and make comments here in the studio, and then we'll open up the phone lines a little later today's broadcast and invite you to do the same. So here's the first part of today's message from Pastor Stevens, entitled The Witness of the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit is a witness to us. I think the most beautiful thing that a believer experiences, a true believer that lives in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, is the witness of the Holy Spirit. Over and over again, the question is asked, how do I know? How can I be sure? And the answer is in the witness of the Holy Spirit. Well, what is the witness of the Holy Spirit? The witness of the Holy Spirit is simply God leading us, specifically as God, with his revelation of truth, convicting our souls, that a certain thing is absolutely correct. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But the precious thing is the witness that a person has. You can't explain the witness. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And they will not go back into the spirit of bondage again to fear. For the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit, in Romans 8:16, that we are the sons of God. And if sons, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. So, the witness of the Holy Spirit is the entire thing that a born-again believer must get to understand. The Word reveals the truth, and the witness witnesses the truth at the right time. In other words, when it should be implemented and experienced and followed in application, as far as guidance is concerned. An 8-year-old girl was on the bus a week ago, and her mother told the bus captain that she had tumor of the brain. So the mother was very concerned. She had been to Hanover Hospital, and they discovered that she had a tumor of the brain, and so they decided to have an operation the following week. So she got her appointment for the operation. When the bus captain heard about it, the little girl, 8 years of age, she had a tremendous witness that God was going to heal her. So Tweety and the other group prayed for her a week ago that God would heal her. And in childlike faith, the girl really believed that the Lord would. So she went back to the Hanover Hospital, getting ready for the operation, and they took her in again just to, once again, to decide what section to operate with their x-rays. So beautifully, they discovered that there was no tumor. So the tumor that was so serious now had totally gone. So they sent her home and said she is normal and can do anything, that something took place beyond their understanding at Hanover Hospital. This girl had a real witness that she was going to be healed, and she was healed. She had a witness, and that witness was a beautiful thing. One of the most exciting things for a believer to have is the witness of the Holy Spirit. How do you have it? You have the witness of the Holy Spirit by obeying the Word of God. I'll repeat that again. Now, this is going to come out different, so you're going to have to listen and let the Holy Spirit correlate it. You don't have a witness of the Holy Spirit by crying out to be filled all the time, and that's not the issue at all. These people that always want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, that isn't even the issue. That's something that people need. They need the power of God. But if you obey the Word of God by faith, then you're automatically filled with the Holy Spirit. And the witness of the Spirit comes through the Word of God. And the Word of God reveals the glorified Christ. And the glorified Christ reveals the plan of the Father. And the plan of the Father reveals the purpose for your life in that plan. And this is the way it works. If I want to know I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I just obey the Word of God without questioning it. Then I'm filled as I study in fellowship with the Word of God. And then I'm not only... Otherwise, if I'm not a student of the Word of God, that's when you get counterfeit experiences like a lot of movements are getting today in degree. Not all of them. But many people that talk about being baptized with the Holy Spirit have been baptized with emotions, but not the Holy Spirit. And because they've been baptized with an emotional experience, that becomes their God. And they base everything on their baptism instead of basing everything on the Word of God. that reveals the glorified Christ. Some people will go to a certain kind of meeting, and then they get thrilled because of the emotional display in that meeting. Now, you know how we have emotion. If sometimes we worship 30 minutes running straight with just anybody praising God any way they want to. And we believe in that. And we believe that it's all right to shout and praise God and all of that. But we always put the Word of God first.
Well, that's the conclusion of the first portion of today's Grace Hour message from Pastor Stevens, entitled The Witness of the Holy Spirit. And again, that great thought that came out of what he just shared, Pastor Scheller. How do you receive the filling? By obeying the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure a lot of people would link those two together.
Yeah, it does make sense that I have the flesh, and if I live in the flesh, I grieve the Spirit. We know that it is in Ephesians 4. We can quench the Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5. But then if, let's say, I'm living in the flesh, would I confess to God that I am in the flesh, and I put on the Lord Jesus, Ephesians 4, also reckon myself to be dead with Christ, and I no longer submit myself to the moving and activity, the impulses, desires of my flesh, but I yield myself to the doctrine. I obey from my heart the doctrine that has been delivered to me, Romans 6:13. Then I am yielding myself to God in faith, and the result is that the Spirit is going to do his work, which is renew me, cleanse me, renew my mind in Romans 12, bringing my body as a living sacrifice unto God, and then him renewing my mind, transforming me. So this is all, you know, very obvious. There's a linkage of Bible verses where one after another teaches us that actually, if I am living in the flesh, I will be not Spirit-filled. And that's a real error that a Christian can be lying, cheating, and so on, or just living in his flesh, in his reaction, his jealousy, and so on. And then just say, and at the same time, I'm Spirit-filled. You know, that's like, you know, you got to be more serious about it.
Yeah. And all of that, as you mentioned, can happen without the emotional experience.
Yeah.
But so often the filling of the Spirit is tied to that emotional experience. And then, as Pastor Stephen said in the message, people can trust that, and they keep going back to that, looking for that emotional experience rather than trusting the eternal Word of God.
Well, I do think that it could be said a little differently, even though it's perfect the way it is. But I also, just to bring another angle on it, I am emotional when I am Spirit-filled, but these are what I like to call high-quality emotions. I have peace. We have joy. I am emotional. I am satisfied, contented. We have confidence when we are Spirit-filled, correct? So those are emotions. To say that we would not be emotional is needs to be defined a little better. I think he means maybe excitement, you know, excited, passion, some kind of feeling of where I'm exaggerating, you know, like praise and excitement is what, you know, but the low quality emotions that come and go, you know, they come and go. I had an illustration that I read this morning in one of my notebooks, and it was, if I have a yo-yo and the yo-yo is going up and down off of my finger, you know, that toy, the yo-yo, you know what that is. But I am at the same time walking up the stairs. So the yo-yo is actually in a down position, and this would be like my emotions, but at the same time I'm going up the stairs. The guy playing the yo-yo is walking up the stairs. So even though I am down, I'm actually going up, you know. Like, so there are Christians that live in, they say, you know, I am down. Yes, you may be feeling down, but from another point of view, you're actually being promoted by God.
Well, it's a good way to state it, the high-quality emotions, mm-hmm. which can be interpreted the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
The fruit of the Spirit, which is, you know, comes through abiding in Christ.
Colossians 3, the peace of God rules, the peace of God that governs our lives is with us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly teaching, admonishing one another. And then the peace of God rules in your life. So this is sanctification, that you would be sanctified spirit, soul, and body by the Spirit of God. And that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and when the witness of the Spirit functions like that, you can be, you know, sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, make a melody in your heart. It sounds like high-quality emotions.
Yes.
All right, let's get back to the second portion of today's Grace Hour message. Again, it's entitled, The Witness of the Holy Spirit.
I've noticed that some of the studies that people want us to come in for studies, then they want to sit around and ask questions. They're no more qualified to ask questions because they just deviate the truth. If you have studies, let your preacher preach, then afterwards have your rap sessions. But let him teach you something. You got an Elijah around. You don't interrupt Elijah's thought by asking somebody, saying, where did Cain's wife come from? Who cares? Good night. I don't want to marry her. And you don't. I mean, who cares? But a lot of people think that it's a good Bible study if every newcomer and everybody that's tramped around all these studies can get up and inject things. Okay, that's not Bible teaching. Bible teaching is when God's gifted man preaches. And Paul used to preach all night. I mean, the Word of God was given its first place in the Bible. Jesus would preach long sermons and then walk off. Now, why? Because you will never get anywhere unless you get right into the heart of the Word of God. That's why some of you need Friday night's evening school of the Bible at 6:30 here. You'll never really be mature. Some people come to a service and they quit 2 weeks, and they come, then they quit. They'll never grow. They don't know the difference between deeper life and shallow life. Because they don't know yet when God is in business in a ministry. They're very surface and very shallow. They don't realize that the people that really make it are those that eat, and then automatically go out. The Word of God is the key. And you better plan to hear the Word of God. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, they did it daily. You just do it every chance you get on purpose. You plan to get up in the morning. You plan to eat. You plan to sleep. Well, plan to be here and plan to hear God's Word. Plan to hear it. All right. You do it on purpose or you're just shallow otherwise because you don't care. It isn't something you take or leave. It's something you say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to be ready to take. Now, the Word of God is the key to the whole thing. That's why we have a Bible school. That's why we have a man right now teaching college students in Helsinki this week. And they're coming in to hear him all over that university. He's beginning to break. And that's why we're doing it in London. I read a letter coming up from one of our missionaries in London. And they were telling how college students was coming to hear the Word of God, and they're getting very hungry in London. The whole thing is sanctify them in my word. My word is true. I had a person stop coming here recently because she said there was too much in the Word of God. She wanted to go where they worship 2 hours. that kind of a person will be running around with emotional quibbles the rest of her life, just like she is now. She never gets her teeth in the Word of God. Jesus said, man must not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You've got to hear a lot to live by every word. Did you know that Job said in the 23rd chapter and the 12th verse, he said, I esteem the word of God more than my necessary food. And remember that message we preached from Psalm 138, verse 2, God magnifies his word above his name. And Colossians 3:16, let the words of God dwell richly in your mind. The entrance of thy words give light in 119, 130. It's a lamp under our feet, a light under our pathway. The Word of God is the most, if somebody gets up here and gives an introduction and then a message, you thank God that we don't, you can go home and worship, but the main thing is to learn how to live by the Word of God, by someone that knows how to teach it and has got it in their photographic mind under the power of God's providence for their ministry. And that's where it's at. It's not at speaking in tongues all night and quibbling so your egocentric nature can express itself. We believe in the gifts, the real ones. If your group speaks in tongues, I challenge him. I'll bring a Russian in and see if they can interpret it. Or would they interpret? You know, a man recently went into a great big certain kind of a church in California where they have 1,800 members. He did not do it to be funny. He obeyed 1 Thessalonians 5, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. And he quoted the 3rd chapter of John, and this is a church that's filled with tongues. It's a well-known church. You know what happened? The interpretation? Thus saith the Lord, I am coming soon. I'm coming back to get my bride. Be ye perfect and be ye ready. Be ye adorned for your husband. And he got up when it was over and said, I'm sorry, preacher, you're the prophet. That person is a false person. He said, I quoted John 3 in Russian. He said, I did it because I'm not against anybody. I believe in tongues. But he said, I did it because I haven't got the gift of tongues yet, and I wanted to know where they have it that's true. He didn't do it to be mean, and he didn't do it then to be mean. And the prophet, the pastor, wouldn't do a thing about it and went on. And you could go to 80% of these tongues churches and get up and quote in Russian or Finnish, if there wasn't a Finnish person, and they'd interpret the same way. Something's wrong. Last summer, a friend of mine from North Dakota, his mother, got the gift of tongues. And she came home with her gift of tongues. And when she did, she gave them, and they were pleased that she got them. Everybody believed in them. And she was cursing Jesus Christ. She was cursing Jesus Christ in the Japanese language, and a Japanese Christian started slapping her in the face and said, you was calling him every name in the book, the Japanese language. This is a fellow who was at church for 5 years, his mother-in-law, who's a very conservative woman.
Well, that's the second portion of today's Grace Hour message, friends. Again, it's entitled The Witness of the Holy Spirit. And again, he mentioned that passage in John chapter 17, verse 17, where this whole idea, this whole great thought, this truth of sanctification is not possible without the Word of God. And again, that was the prayer of Jesus to his Father in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. If real sanctification, and this is, again, the deeper life that he mentioned as opposed to the shallow life. If that deeper work of sanctification is to happen, take place in our lives, it cannot happen without the Word of God. And then, of course, he mentioned Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you see this connection between the work of the Spirit and the Word of God. And Jesus said, God's a spirit, John 4:24, they that worship him must, and he didn't say that, you know, this was some kind of an option. He said they must worship him in spirit and in truth. So it doesn't seem to make sense that you could be worshiping God from a spiritual perspective without the Word of God, without the truth of the Scriptures. They just seem to go hand in hand. To me, and this is just my perspective, but if you don't have the Word of God, and I love what he said about preaching and teaching, and how so often people just think, well, this is the time to ask some random, you know, out of context question. No, listen to the spokesperson, the authority, the teacher, the pastor that God raises up in your local assembly. Listen and be taught and let the Word of God, you know, train your soul.
Yes, you know, he's quoting Job 23:12, where I esteem your word more than my necessary food. You know, this is a focus by the believer on. I think of the word something like a nut, and you break the shell, and you get the kernel. So you have the word, and then you're really looking for what is the word, you know, the inside of the shell. So I think when you find it, it's compelling. It produces peace. It's authority. The word has authority. So, you know, when Jesus said, take up your bed and walk, that was the word. But when the man actually heard it, related to it, believed it, trusted it, then it actually worked. It really worked. And that's why so many of us are passionate about it, because we have seen the effect of it in the immediate and also long range, over a long period of time. You see the effect of that word. You know, we just had a kindergarten graduation about an hour ago, and these little, you know, 5 and 6 year old children are quoting Bible verses, and I was so impressed with their ability to do it. You know, you've seen it with children. You know, they can learn something and repeat it back. So maybe you could say they have the shell, but then God giving them the kernel of the word, that, and then in time they're going to have the Bible verse, and then they're going to also see its sanctifying authority in their life, you know.
Yeah.
So we're not tape recorders just repeating back. We are actually living epistles.
Yeah. Something profitable happens when we mix faith with the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's internalized. It becomes light in our souls, and that light it gives us the ability to walk in the truth of it.
Yeah, the pathway, the Word is a lamp to my feet, a light unto my path. So just imagine not having it. I mean, we see it a lot in our country where people are very troubled. There's more anxiety in life than ever. From what we hear by the polls and by the psychologists that are studying these things, the anxiety, the suicide rates, the drug addictions, all of these things, I just don't believe that a person has the capability of living this life with any kind of authority without the kernel of the word, you know, not just the Bible learning, but more deeply. And Pastor is mentioning it here in his message that it's a deeper life. So maybe, Pastor Love, you want to say something about the deeper life. How would somebody get the deeper life? What is the deeper life?
Well, he mentioned in that message, and, you know, by way of admonishment, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Take advantage of every opportunity. When it presents itself, you're there. You make the effort. You get up in the morning. You pay the price, because there could be a price that you have to pay to get God's words and to have them in your heart and to see the sanctifying effect that it can have upon your soul. So I would say, practically speaking, whenever the opportunity presents itself, you're there. You're listening. you're internalizing the truth that you're hearing.
Have you ever been torn? There was quite a game last night with Boston at the basketball, you know, but, you know, you're watching and enjoying a basketball game. I mean, Boston won, right?
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I didn't see the whole thing, but it was very impressive. Can you imagine how those guys make 3-point shots? Like,
you know
what I mean? It's like incredible.
Yeah.
One after the other. It's like amazing. I say that only to say that sometimes we are torn how to use my time. You know, am I going to watch a basketball game? Or another one is, you know, things that I want to do in the course of a day. Maybe some ladies go shopping, or guys are fixing some tool or machine, or has a house project. I mean, your time can disappear, and you could be driven from one project to another. From your work, you know, from one thing to another. So can you say something about that when we say, I might have to sacrifice something in order to have the concentration that is needed in order to hear?
Mm. When you look at people's problems, so many of them come as a result of the wrong priorities in life.
Okay.
A lot of our problems are priority problems.
Yes.
We get the wrong priorities.
Okay.
We do the things that we think are important when in reality they're not that important. So I think that we have to have a godly scale of priorities that helps to govern our lives. And if we have that godly scale of priorities, we will not be home, let's say, for instance, for example, on Wednesday night watching the television program that's on. We'll be at church. Mm-hmm. We'll gather together with God's people. That's a priority. Mm-hmm. I need that more than I need to binge watch on my favorite television program.
Okay.
I need to be together with God's people despite the fact that the big game may be on, which I can watch later. I can catch up with it later.
Okay.
It's not the end of the world. But my life could be greatly impacted if I'm not in a place to hear a timely word from God.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So I need to... you know, this isn't legalism. It's like you say, there's somehow maybe even a deeper desire for more of God in my life. I got to pay some attention. I want to be quiet. I need to get quiet. I remember pastor counseling us as pastors and saying man, they get too busy and they need to be, you know, take time and be quiet and concentrate.
Mm.
Yeah.
Heard that?
Yeah.
And I heard a great message yesterday. We had a chaplain's, NBA chaplain's conference call, and a wonderful brother in the Lord. His name is Clark Kellogg. He's the CBS commentator for all of the collegiate games. He's the lead analyst for the Indiana Pacers and a wonderful, wonderful brother in Christ. And he said yesterday in his chaplain's conference, he said, what we need more of today as believers is silence and solitude. He said, we need that because sometimes we can get so busy and that busyness can remove us from the place of faith rest. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful principle that I think all of us could need to be reminded about.
Well, that resonates with me because we have a very busy schedule here. And this solitude and quietness is, get restored. If it is with God, right?
Yes.
And I'm seeking God, and he's faithful to us to visit us and minister to us in the Holy of Holies, right in the very presence of God, and yet I'm so busy or distracted. Even the distractions aren't bad, but it's just shut your phone off, shut down, get real quiet, and be a listener. And I put on one of Pastor's tapes. I whatever they're called nowadays, I guess they're not tapes, but what is okay. So I listen and I'm restored, I'm encouraged, and the quietness is precious.
Amen. We have a caller. We'll take that caller and then we'll get back to the third and final portion of our message. Chris has been waiting, calling from Washington State. Chris, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Hi there. Thank you so much for this beautiful word today. And I just love what you just said, Pastor Laza. The other day, I saw this great thing that said that the word silent and the word listen have the exact same letters to them. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, wow.
Wow, huh? Yeah. Boy, we need quietness. I know my soul longs for that more and more, but I really call just to give everybody a shout out. This is so exciting. And yesterday's program was amazing with our dear Pastor Benjamin. And we are having an Israeli booth this year, a convention, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to have a TV monitor in there, and we are spending a lot of time to put together footage of Pastor Benjamin that's been done throughout the city of Jerusalem and other parts of the country as well, with actually some very professional film photographer, and with him discussing various holy sites and beautiful, beautiful clips, along with teaching that we are going to be looping. So it's going to be a very rich kind of immersed experience of Israel, Jerusalem, Pastor Ben's teaching. And then really the star of the whole thing is that we have put together a booklet of his teaching. So for the past 2 years, there's been a group of us that have been gathering together on Mondays on a Zoom meeting, oftentimes extending 3 hours between prayer and his teaching and then, you know, just discussion. So we have been working night and day and day and night the last 3 months or so to put this booklet together. It's called Gems from Jerusalem, and we're going to be selling it there. And it's just going to be, we hope and we pray, it's going to be a beautiful experience for people to just be able to participate in his amazing teaching and their amazing life. I think we're going to have some words from Ramona for the ladies as well. So everybody, please seek out the booth that is going to be the Israeli booth. It's going to be inside. We're going to do it in kind of a theater style with seats inside. We have a large booth so people can comfortably sit down. It's going to be in a quiet corner. I think Scotty Dubé said, yeah, we'll find a nice quiet corner for it. So just be on the lookout for that. Stop by and be blessed. And, yeah, this is great because he hasn't been able to visit for some years. And we, you know, it's up to the Lord. We don't know when he'll come again. So we just really felt that this teaching we've received from him for the last 2 years was so rich, we couldn't keep it to ourselves. So we had to make sure we could put it together in a booklet and then also have this amazing visual of Israel and of his faith and various holy sites teaching and explaining. And so hopefully this will be a great blessing and everybody will be, you know, encouraged to stop by.
That's exciting. Well, thanks for sharing that. So even more of a reason to make your plans to come and to be here for the International Convention. I'm sure you're going to get a lot of visitors there, Chris, so I hope you have enough room.
Well, we've got, 5 days and 24 hours? Well, not quite, but yeah, I'm sure we'll accommodate everybody. It's going to be great. No food that we know of, but we're going to be, I think, yeah, we're going to be giving out free waters for everybody that
there
comes.
There you go. Perfect. And they can get their food from the other booths.
That's right. That's right.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. We appreciate it and looking forward to that booth as well as many other international booths that will be set up during the convention here in Baltimore, which is coming up very quickly, beginning the third week of June, the 20th of June specifically. Chris, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now.
God bless. Let's go back now to the third portion of today's Grace Hour message and wrap it up today, and then we'll be back with you live right here in the studio.
I'm not doing this to put down the gift of tongues, because I said that there's a real gift of tongues. But I'm doing this to say you'd better be careful what you follow, make sure it's it. There are the true gifts. Don't misunderstand me. I'm for them. I'm not against them. We have them. But we handle them very carefully. But we handle them wisely, and we use them. But you'd better be careful that everybody that you, like this girl that went up here to Tremont Temple, and she came right here at the service, and we counseled her. She was a girl that hadn't had any problems in her emotions, and she went to this big movement up here at Tremont where they brought all their bags and went down and vomited, having their demons cast out. And they cast demons out of this girl. She didn't know she had any. She got scared, frightened. She ended up in a mental institution. And that place was packed that night. And the head speaker did not discern her right. His prophecy, his discernment was false. That girl had not had any problems. He told her she had a demon of lust, living in fornication. She wasn't. Told her she was lying. She didn't lie, was not a liar at all. And she got all thinking that God had done this to her. And she started screaming. She ended up in a mental institution. Never was treated, never had any problems prior to that meeting. This is very serious business. The head speaker did this to her. You'd better not follow every little tape that comes in just because somebody gives a good message. That's why we stick to the Word of God. You'll notice our moods are different. Our anointings are different. No, we won't put God in a box. Sometimes it's a sanctified humorous, but always a deep message. Sometimes it's broken. More times it's broken. And then it's just teaching, a strong teaching emphasis. But the whole issue is this. It comes out, it must come out in the variety of God's mood. And you don't follow these kind of people that simply substitute emotional action for divine revelation. Don't get caught up in it so that you can feel different when you come out of the service. You can get right by the Word of God. You don't have to go through a lot of hocus pocus stuff. Just get in that book and get right. You know how long it takes a person to get right? 5 seconds. I don't care who they are, what they've done. It takes them less than 5 seconds. When I name my sin and my heart says I'm weak and frail, but I believe you, Lord, thank you, then it's over. I don't have to have somebody cast something out of me. You say, do you believe in demons? Yes, but I believe that love casts out fear without somebody screaming and shouting all night. I don't go for the so-called modern hours of tarrying, all that garbage and bunk. That's for little babies that are living the first grade of Christianity that have never grown in the book. You better learn it and learn it well. Don't you follow them. Everybody passed out handkerchiefs. Good night. Money tricks. Then they have bank accounts and 4 or 5 cottages and 4 or 5 houses and cry that they need money. If I'm going to need money, I don't have any bank account, don't own anything, and can't have anything. If I ever got out of the ministry, I'd never ask for a cent for radio or TV or anything. That's before God Almighty. Now, the witness of the Holy Spirit is a great thing, but the witness of the Holy Spirit doesn't come through subjectivity. These great revelations that people get apart from the Word of God, no, they don't. They're false. You get them through the Word of God. Sanctify them, and my word is true. Live by every word. Let it dwell richly. Let it enter into your heart and bring light. Everything that Jesus Christ has given us is based upon the Word of God. That's why I quote Scripture, chapter and verse, so you can look it up, write it down, look it up later, and see if it doesn't correlate, so you can be sure you're getting the Word of God and not somebody's subjective concept of God apart from the Word. I don't know how many people, when I first came up here, and the same people are with us today, and they're all straightened out and have been for 2 years. I used to have more people that would say, the Holy Spirit told me, the Holy Spirit told me, the Holy Spirit told me. No, the Word of God says, and the Spirit gave me witness of the Word of God. You live by the Word of God. You may not get tickled or thrilled so much in your egocentric trip this way, but you'll have a lot more substance at the end of the journey. You can't hoot and holler and go through your rigmaroles quite as much and fall to the ground as much, but when it's all over, you'll have an awful lot more up here for the trial. Most people are getting to like it that way. They're graduating from these emotional trips. Okay. There was this this lady. She always is getting up. And this certain friend of mine would preach about prayer. And she'd get up the next Sunday and she said, I aim to pray from now on. And then he'd preach on soul winning. She'd say, from now on, I aim to go soul winning. And then he'd preach upon a family altar. And she said, from now on, I aim to have a family altar. And he'd preach upon tithing. And she said, I aim to tithe from now on. So he got up after she said, I aim to tithe. Now, he said, sister, he said, you've been aiming for so long now. And he said, your gun has been loaded and the trigger set. But he said, you never shoot. So please shoot. We... A lot of Christians are aiming all the time, but they never shoot. Well, notice, if you would please, Jesus said that he was going to put something in their hearts. What he placed in their hearts was the Word and the Spirit. Do you know something? The measure of which I receive the Word of God by faith will be the measure of which I live in the power of the Spirit by witness. I'll repeat that again. The measure in which I receive the words of God by faith will be the measure of which I'll experience the witness of the Holy Spirit in fellowship.
And that is the third and final portion of today's message, friends, entitled The Witness of the Holy Spirit. I think it goes without saying, Pastor Schaller, based upon the entirety of that message, the witness of the Holy Spirit clearly works together in conjunction with the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what we're hearing. Words by faith, and that will determine the measure of the Holy Spirit working in my life. Let's say, for example, I have a hard time forgiving. I've got to forgive. I must forgive. So by faith, and then the Spirit will bear witness. And I will be spirit filled, and that's the result of forgiving. But it's funny how we could study and know, but I'm not exercised in the knowledge. I might know, but I'm not acting. So action, Pastor Love, can you imagine? I might know it all, but then am I acting in it?
Sure. I mean, we can live in theory and not practice. That can happen a lot in our lives. But I like what you said. When you're in the Word, or let's say, we can use this word, exposed to the Word. But it's more than exposure, because some people look at Bible teaching and preaching like nuclear fallout. If you're in the general vicinity, it's going to get you.
Okay.
But it doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. There is a volitional consent that has to happen by those who sit under the teaching of the Word of God.
Yeah.
If they don't mix faith with what they hear and welcome it into their souls, it cannot produce the effect.
Yeah. I mean, honor your mother and father. Don't bear false witness. How do I think of other people? Am I thankful? This is all good instruction. And it takes me, to practice what it is that I'm believing. And it's always a marvel to me that Solomon gave all these amazing proverbs and warnings about women being seduced by women. This is Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. And yet it was the very thing that he failed in. So maybe we might know. And with religious people also, they might know the Bible even very well, but then what does it profit me if I don't have love? And so I need to have my heart in it. And I think that's a prayer. Just, Lord, search me, fill me, guide me, correct me. If there's any evil way in me, just show me, and then I will act according to what you are saying to me.
Yeah. Kind of like the children of Israel in the Old Testament, they heard the words of God and they said, Sounds like a very lovely song. They appreciated it. They appreciated it. Yeah. But they didn't appropriate it.
Right.
And when it came time for application, they didn't have anything.
Yeah. And, well, Jesus said you have ears, but you can't hear me. You are just not in it. So this is where the Holy Spirit does his work. And to each of you, everyone listening, to each of you that believe in Christ, you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, and just simply practice, you know, embrace it and practice it and be exercised in it, and you will find yourself increasing, growing. And there's another part to the sanctification which we didn't get into today, but that's the community. That's the body. That's the fellowship. That's my brothers and sisters. That's my friends. Those are my people at the church. So by the community, we drink the same Spirit. We reinforce each other. We indirectly correct each other, sometimes directly. But we find ourselves very much edified and filled with the Spirit.
Amen. Well, it was a great message that we all listened to and glean from today. And as we get ready to close our Thursday edition of the Grace Hour, friends, a quick question for those of you that are listening. Have you ever attended a conference before? For those of you that never have, we want to encourage you to do just that. Our international convention is coming up, and if you've never been a part of one of these conferences or conventions, you really have to experience them. It's kind of like what we're talking about here today. It's one thing to hear about a conference. It's another thing to be there and to attend the conference. What a difference it makes in our lives. So we want to encourage you. Go to our website, ggwo.org, and again, log on to the international convention that's happening here the third week of June. It begins on the 20th of June. And make your plans to attend. It's ggwo.org/events. And you can be a part of it. And I, you know, we don't often give out guarantees in the Grace Hour, but I can almost guarantee you, you will be greatly, greatly encouraged. Thanks to all of you that were listening to the broadcast today. Thanks to those of you that weighed in and shared your thoughts with us, Elizabeth Marion, Aretta, Hane, and so many more of you. We appreciate those comments. We didn't get to them all today, but we'll do our best to do that on tomorrow's Grace Hour broadcast. Have a great day, friends, and join us tomorrow at the same time.